what is the difference between seeing the clarity and seeing non-being?
There's a million, infinite million miles, infinite difference between seeing into the clarity here and taking it as read. Infinite difference. By clarity, I mean this aware space for things to happen in. Infinite difference between that experience. It takes it as a fait accompli and seeing it doesn't have to be in its absolute and total mystery and unknowable, astounding. Unaware of how it is self-creating.
What effect do you think that has in your life or in the life of the world around you when you appreciate the amazement of the non-being?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on the effect of the yellow flowers, I will say. But what I feel is that the only place where I can take my stand is on this bottomless mystery. And so everything else is quite secondary and comparatively worthless. Well, Angela says, all those wonderful blessings, they're a wonderful payoff. They can all go. They don't matter in the past. But she said, brings no smile to the lips or joy to the heart. It's the unknowable. It's the unknowable known as unknowable. Why should it be? It hasn't a clue. Just not knowing how it comes to be. And there's nothing here. This is a totally different dimension of it from seeing that here is awareness stroke, void stroke emptiness, and being perfectly alive to that. There's always the implication when you're perfectly alive to that is the kind of thing that has to be. And this thing, it doesn't have to be. In fact, shouldn't be. Most irregular, improper. And this should be. They're breaking all the rules. You've got no case for it. It exists for no reason. No help, no reason. And God, the little boy said, God, bang! And he said, how did I do it? He said, I'm impossible. Nobody helped me. I had a clue how I did it. I'm impossible. God, I'm impossible. And I keep on being impossible. No clue about how I do it. And I'm doing it. It's impossible. I take my stand on the impossible, if you excuse the expression. How does that seem to you?
Yeah, I'm interested in what you say about it being a different dimension. That's a way of speaking, in a sense, is it?
No. It makes all the difference. Because I'm aware of the emptiness and its function, and its place where the fullness comes from. With the kind of implicit feeling, it's just got to be that it's reasonable. I mean, it's really something that is got to be like that, something which is, it doesn't bowl you over, take your breath away and knock you out. Just is. I mean, it's just given as that machine, really. And there it is. This way of looking at things, to my mind, doesn't take any of that for granted. It says by rights that nothing should exist. And it's you who are doing this all the time, right here. So some mystery is happening somewhere else. Right here. You magician bringing yourself out of this hat of non-being, and you haven't a clue how you do it. I take my stand in that which I cannot understand.
In your own life, I read a little bit of what you've added to the Notehead book about the stages.
Mm.
How does this tie in with the stages? And is it, is that, does that make sense as a question to you?
Mm. Now, paradoxically, and very strangely, this for me, in a certain sense, is the crème de la crème, the highest of the high, the most precious of everything, spiritual. And yet, in a certain sense, it is not the final stage, in a way.
What is it?
There's a dimension of total mystery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the final stage. And for one reason, really, and that is, it's a thought, and it's a feeling.
Right.
And you see, it happens now at three here, or whatever.
In a strange way, it's part of the I am, in a strange way.
Well, it's something which comes and goes because it's a feeling and a thinking.
Uh-huh.
It's infinitely the most precious feeling and thinking one possibly have, but still is a thought and a feeling.
Right.
Now, this final thing here is neither a thought nor a feeling. I mean, and therefore it doesn't come and go. And I mean, you can have this the other realization, you know, from time to time, and you can say, well, I had it good and strong on Thursday, but on Friday it would not run.
Really. And that's why Suzuki says it's grey matter of fact. The ultimate is grey matter of fact, in the sense that it's bare of all, even the highest mystery.
Mm. Mm. That's right, and I think so, that's right. And it's a paradox, really, in that that which is the most highest and most staggering and most beautiful isn't still not quite the ultimate, because it does come and go. Paradox. All the same, you know, scratch me for the ultimate pleasure, and it's this pleasure of not knowing.
Have you always felt this, or when did you first feel it?
See, I really had been near my heart for many years, and I think it's all rather kind of built up recently, but I think it has an intensity. But there it is all over the place, and you know, the hierarchy finishes on that.
Uh-huh, that's right.
Right, isn't it? The hierarchy says if I think at the end of all this I know anything, and I've got something taped, and I'm not a total mystery in myself, it's much better not to tackle this whole enterprise. And the whole thing is totally unknowable. Stirs.
Mm-hmm.
I find it very difficult in explaining the thrill that, you know, gives one, me anyway. It's taking things for granted, which I cannot take for granted. I can't take awareness for granted. It's a kind of basis on which the world is built. Or being, or consciousness, can't take those as the basis. I take where they come from, which is unknowable. That's the unknowable, bottomless basis. Why should there be anything, David? Why? No reason. I feel this book, you know, it's a Sufi book, which is a tremendous experience to find it, because it's really saying all this very, very clearly. Well, as clearly as I've ever met, and in very short compass, saying it. It talks about the majesty of undoing, of the incomprehensible, not being, non-existent.
Why do you think that it's increased intensity recently?
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. I mean, I've noticed that, and perhaps my appreciation of you this year, even in different from last year, I used the image the other day, you keep getting onto a different train. In a sense, a train of thought, but a train of experience expressing it. And this year you seem to be on, like, it's the train of non-being, and it gives you feel like you feel very released from the world. Even though you're very with the world, you feel like as if you just... And yet, at the same time, you invite us aboard, you know? I feel like I'm there with you. But
invited the what?
You invite us aboard onto the train,
mm, certainly.
You know?
Mm.
But, I mean, I've noticed particularly that there's a difference this year and last year. It's really...
Well, I do. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for having survived this ripe old age. Mm. I think what I would have missed if I'd conked out a few years younger. Yeah. I'm a slow developer. I'm creeping on somehow.
No, I just wonder, why is it... I mean, I guess we just get, as we keep living, we so to speak, we just get, there are opportunities and opportunities to go into it deeper and deeper, and it just keeps
But the answer is, I don't know. I mean, you can say with grace, I don't know, I can engineer. It's something that appears along with the mystery, really, anyway.
It's very,
you see, it's really got the quality, which is nothing else on earth for me. There's nothing to match it, a quality which is absolutely unique and quite inexplicable, really. And a lot of people say, well, you make a fuss about it. I don't understand, because there has to be something come off it. Don't understand that. Look, there is only one awareness. I mean, multiple consciousness, right. I find no evidence for. There's one awareness, call it God, or your true, the I Am, or your true self, or Prajna, call it what you wish. Call it God. Only one awareness, being. And that one being lives in constant wonderment at its achievement of being. Totally in the dark about how it's done. And rejoicing in that darkness like mad. I'm impossible, it says to itself. Yeah, here I am. Bang, here I am.
And aware of it.
Right.
No reason for being either.
No.
Which to human,
No reason. And of course there are all sorts of other things you can say apart from the mystery. The business of death is so superb, I think. If you are the source, and one is the source, here there is no life, no humanity, no materiality, no being, even no consciousness. Here beneath that, all that, but here's where everything comes from. Here's the source of all that stuff. So you have absolutely nothing here of your own. It all vanishes into not knowing. The abyss all spills into there. So that now, from the station of total deprivation, which is as a source, one takes on his capacity for one has now filling one's space, material objects, infinitely above in hierarchical status, this stone, as I was saying, wonderful achievement of all these things like color and shape and history and God knows what. And all the life in the world is one's own, because one has none and contains it all. And it's below life, it's below materiality, it's below consciousness. And therefore, of course, takes on all. As a source, you take on the whole lot. You're free of the whole lot, you take it on.
Now, I see that the nothingness which is below even consciousness. And yet you often talk about the only thing we're doing wrong is not noticing that we're fine, that we're okay. And it's...
No such thing as...
You see, the only thing, we're okay. Everything is okay. The only thing that isn't okay, in a sense, is that we're not noticing that we're okay.
That's right.
And that seems to me like a function of consciousness.
Mm.
And yet, the non-being is below consciousness.
Absolutely.
I mean, often in my mind, I have a sort of residual feeling that somehow consciousness is necessary, is a necessary thing for me to know my non-being, and that non-being, in a way, depends on consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
I wouldn't differ from that.
Mm.
That's where the things arose last night. You know,
yes.
Nirvana is a very good question.
Mm.
Nirvana isn't without samsara. And that's why Hui Hao puts it poetically in an inspired fashion, I think. Prajna's unconscious facing the yellow flowers functions. And this is below being, below consciousness, everything. So there's nothing there to reveal or nothing there to right. come up with. Right. It's all beyond and below everything. So how do you know anything about it? Well, you can see what it comes up with. You can see, if you like to talk in terms of potentiality, you can see what it comes up with, the yellow flower named the universe. And without the universe, as the expression of this ineffable origin, there's no ineffable origin.
Does consciousness come and go then, in your experience?
No. Certainly not. I can't find consciousness coming or going. No.
Because if it came, in some way there's the question, if consciousness comes and goes, and knowing the non-being depends on consciousness, then how do you know the non-being doesn't come? I mean, it's a ridiculous question from the point of non-being, but in terms of the logic of it, you know, if consciousness is above non-being, and there's a sense of thing, how can you say it doesn't come and go?
Well, I mean, I would just observe, as an empirical observation, that no time have I a sense of coming from the unconscious, or by being, starting being born.
Right.
Conscious. I have no sense of interruption when people tell me I'm asleep or whatever. I've been asleep. No sense of losing consciousness, getting back again. Consciousness is not in time.
And it doesn't, it's not a human thing at all.
No.
In that sense. I think that's probably where my confusion is.
It doesn't come or go. But I would say that consciousness is the other side of the medal of what you're conscious of, and it doesn't exist apart from what you're conscious of. Now, in a certain queer sense, I would say the unconscious is independent of consciousness. Of the consciousness that comes from it. But knowledge of the unconscious is not independent of that. It could be a rather Pickwickian way of talking to say that non-being is, unconsciousness is, operates perfectly happily when they've got nothing to, emerge into. Well, all that's rather verbal.
Yes, I know, but it's still a question there. I mean, obviously there's a question because the sutras came, whoever it was said, it's just that nirvana is samsara. It's a very important question, even though it is a verbal one to some extent.
Oh.
Because, I mean, it hinges on the fact of the question of whether I ever cease to exist if I'm unaware of myself.
And if you're ever unaware,
whether I
forever, at any time, unaware, does awareness come, does it go? Mm. I can't find any evidence that.
Awareness, in a sense, is synonymous with the I am.
Yes, really.
Mm. And that never, there's never a time when this.
Well, it's an awareness of the I am as awareness this way. The other awareness is awareness that way, which is not awareness of the I am, it's awareness of content.
I think there's another angle on this which is so exciting is that this space, I mean, the filling talks about the void. I mean, it's quite developed. I mean, these words now that I'm speaking are the filling talking about the non-filling, which is quite a sophisticated state of affairs, really. Mm. I mean, in some sense. How neat that it can verbalize and feel and
it's astonishing, really.
Yes, I mean that's part of consciousness, but.
But of course, the words and phenomena do not experience. I mean, we do talk. I mean, people talk very loosely about first-person consciousness and third-person consciousness. That's all rubbish, isn't it?
Right.
Phenomena and things do not unconscious.
But I guess what I'm saying, what a lovely use of language the one's come up with to talk about itself. Mm.
Right. And of course, the neat thing is that God employs language fairly well, in a way. But language, although, leads us into every kind of nonsense.
But body language, too, pointing. That's a language to me. Mm. I mean, the whole world is pointing back at the void.
Yeah.
It's like you said something that was interesting last line also about nirvana and samsara exist for each other.
Let me say it again.
Nirvana and samsara. Like without samsara, nirvana would not exist.
Right.
Without nirvana, samsara would not exist.
Right.
Two sides of a penny, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a wonderful Zen intuition, which means that the world is indispensable. It's marvelous that. I'm not world denying, it's world asserting.
Mm-hmm. And it saves the confusion that people feel like they see who they are. How can they exist in the world, or what, you know, how can they do anything? Because it makes it as if exist, you know, the world, the feeling, is there for the purpose of the nirvana.
Of course, it's a big tradition, I mean, mistaken one, you know, that the body and the world and the senses are all diversions from this. No relevance to this for rejecting and discounting. And I think it's one of the real bad handicaps of much Indian spirituality, that view. I experience considerable bafflement when I'm trying to convey the excitement of this somehow. But I think friends do catch on, many really do. Colin, for instance, said to me, well, I don't quite see this. I don't see that any problem. There has to be something, you know. It doesn't surprise me at all. It's just necessary, really, for awareness to exist. And so I said, well, I find it needn't exist. The existence is a kind of supernumerary. It's kind of thrown in. It's coming terribly and utterly irregular, really. And he, after a few months, he said, yes, we're right. And then it's just unbelievable.
I was saying something about how seeing this is... makes such a difference. It's a leap into another dimension, and it does refocus the whole world in terms of non-being and mystery. And that's the sense I've got from, you know, that going back to that, the sense I've got from you this time is how it gets more fundamental the longer one appreciates it. That shift gets more fundamental.
Yes, and you see, David, I put it like this, really, in a way, for me, that it's not... God doesn't know how she created herself, or being doesn't know how it gets off its launching pad, or how, or there shouldn't be any awareness at all, but there is. It's not that impersonal stuff, really. The thrilling bottom line is, I don't mean Douglas, I mean the real I, this way, is absolutely unknowable to itself. I don't know myself. I don't know anything about myself. I'm rooted and grounded in complete mystery, unknowability, ineffability, unawareness.
It's like all the veils are taken away with the I am. And then there they are again with the non-being. There's a veil of mystery.
But that veil is one which,
yes,
being impenetrable, I can take my stand there.
When but a veil, it's very strange, though.
When a veil can be parted and find something behind it, that's not it's a different matter. But this is all veil, really. It's
right.
Solid veil.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, to go forward in life not knowing what you're, you know, who you are, where you come from. Nothing worth knowing can be known the way this is. Totally unknown to itself. You kind of poetry, really. I mean, these people, you know, use those expressions like the dark desert of the Godhead, where God dwells therein unknown to himself. And one casts oneself into that wild sea. Well, it speaks to my in a certain funny way at my heart very much. And what I can understand, what I can know, I can get taped will not satisfy my heart. Am I lying? What I am is trivial chicken feed compared with that fact that I am. But that's the impossible thing. On that, I take my stand. On that, you know, on that baseless base and groundless ground and abyss, bottomless, I take my stand. Not what I am, but that I am. The fact that I am. It's marvelous moving about the world and not knowing, having a clue as to who you are. See, the other one is knowing who I am. And then you know, and I know I'm not Douglas, I'm not little guy in the mirror, I know who I really am. I am the I am. And this book is so eloquent about the majesty and resource of the total unknowing, ignorance, not being.
Will you say more about, like, when you say that when I attend to who I am or who I am not, then things tend to, the right thing tends to happen.
Well, I would say that I think that observation is fairly well upstream. Not upstream, but downstream, I suppose. Fairly secondary to what I am finding here about the unknowable. And a connection, no doubt. But I don't feel that probably I need to get a whole apprehension of the mystery before that operates, that I moved from the utter and total crippling illusion of I am Douglas, I am the guy in the mirror, to this clarity which I see, you know, and I'm there it is. Whether I find it, on mystery or not, at this point is not relevant. What I am doing now is enjoying the fact of being absent in favor of the object. And there's no mystery as such necessarily concerned with that efficiency which comes from being empty for things and so on.
But isn't the connection stronger than that, in the sense that when I see my non-being, then it does cast this other dimension on the world, which is one of, the world is existing in nothing. It becomes a very special kind of world. And in that, how could anything go wrong in light of this mystery? To me, there's quite a strong connection with that. I mean, it's not that I want anything to go right, even. Right and wrong don't operate in that dimension. Do you see what I mean?
When I'm operating from the truth, which is, I'm exact opposite of what I've been told, and I'm not a thing, and I'm space, and all those things, timeless space, and so on. If I'm really aware of that and simultaneously aware of what's going on there, what I do, what these hands do and these feet do and this voice does and so on seem to be much better, much more effective and much more pleasurable, etc., etc. And if I'm acting under the crazy delusion, there's no consequence here doing it. Now, at this stage, it's not central. Not at all the central to be alive to the mystery behind it all. In my experience, because I mean, really, I kind of saw, A lot of friends see this perfectly clearly, but they're not all seized up with the mystery of being. Do I say they are seeing unclearly? Not at all.
What I'm trying to say is that this feeling of mystery that I get when I see the non-being touches the world. It touches my... it touches the feeling, and it makes a difference.
Oh, yes.
And in that sense, things...
Oh, yes. Oh, very much so. And a Herrigel has a superb passage about this. Quite superb. He says, to the extent to which things are referred to their unknowable origin, or perceived as proceeding from their unknowable origin, they bear all the marks of that origin. They have that flavor, smell, odor of their origin. Because that origin is unknowable. So in that sense, yes, right, what does you say? There are various degrees here of getting the full answer, I think.
Is there, before we finish, is there anything that you'd like to add and you feel has been missed out?
I think it'd be nice and very helpful to get the different ways in which people have described this. And they agreed, you know, there are quite a bunch of mystics. They're pretty thin on the ground, very rare, but they each expresses this in another way, in a very different way. It was so much a joy to find a Sufi expression of it. Tremendous. And you've got the Zen one and the Christian one. Quite a number of Zen ones. I like that. I like, you know, getting different angles. And I, in a way, I suppose, when one talks about it and goes on about it, it's apt to fade from one's mind, disappear from one's grasp. I think probably the useful thing is to find a few slogans or a memoir. Coming back to them, sponsor work for you, you know, kind of tickets. And it's not, I mean, it would seem, you know, in theory, it'd be enough to just be blank, you know, just see yourself in space, really, just that, be blank. And that is really the bottom line, in a sense. A thing you can't do wrong, but it's absolutely perfect. It's always there. But that is not what doesn't produce the sense of mystery, which although it isn't the highest, is in a certain sense the tops for me. It's not the highest in terms of stages, but it is, for me, the most precious of all.